We'll be in Luke chapter 2, and I'd like to read verses 1 through 20 concerning the Christmas story. Luke chapter 2, verse 1 through 20. And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered, and that registration was first made when Quirinius was governor of Syria. And all went to be registered, every one into his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, an angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were very much afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you, ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts, praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, Let us now go even unto Bethlehem, and see this thing which is come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. And they came with haste, and found Mary and Joseph, and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told unto them. Let us look to the Lord in prayer. Loving Father, we thank you that we might rejoice together today concerning the Lord Jesus Christ and of his coming into this world, and that our rejoicing is because of the Savior's birth and of the fulfillment of the Scripture, which is recorded of him, that these things should be for a sign, that a virgin shall conceive and bring forth a son, and that his name shall be called Emmanuel, for he shall save his people from their sins. And that we might recognize, Lord, of the salvation that has come. Thank you, Father, for your love to us and for the love which you have shed abroad in our hearts through the giving of Jesus Christ as the Son of God, that he might come and die for the sins of the world. In this we do pray in the name of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. As we look at this passage this morning, we, of course, are reminded of the Christmas story, of how that the Lord came into the world as a little baby. But of course, something much more miraculous was taking place than simply that a baby was being born. It is truly that Jesus Christ, the Son of God, came down to man, that we find that as the scripture has recorded that Jesus should come, that he should be born in Bethlehem of Judea, that he would be born of a virgin, that he would come of that royal line of David, and that this child would be set to the really the dividing of a nation, that which God meant to come to pass should come to pass, that the fulfillment of the scriptures might be made known, and that the true salvation of God may come unto the world. And that is why he would become a man of great controversy in his own day, and still is today. But yet we know that the love of God has come also, and the grace of God through our Lord Jesus Christ, and that truth of the love and the grace of God brings salvation unto all who believe upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. This morning we want to look at this passage. Though it is a familiar one, let us look at it more closely as we see the angelic announcement of Jesus' birth. Now this marks the incarnation of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now when we speak about the incarnation of Christ, we talk about God himself coming down and taking upon himself human flesh. That God is revealed to man in a way that he had never been revealed before in human flesh. That he became known as the God-man. And so this was no normal birth. It was the birth of the Son of God into the world. Not the birth of Joseph's son from his own loins, as we might say, but the birth of the Son of God as God the Holy Spirit gave the conception to Mary and she bore the Christ child, the anointed of God. Let us begin reading at verse 1. And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed, as the King James has it, or registered for taxation. As the account goes historically, Rome was, of course, the moving vehicle behind the order which was given that this taxation should take place and this registration of the citizenry should take place, and by miraculous means also God peradventure by his own providence allowed that Caesar should make the order that everyone should go back to their own city. That, and we find that Joseph and Mary would have to travel back to Bethlehem, to that city wherein is the city of David, and that city of taxation for them, that they might be registered there. And that is where the fulfillment of the scripture should take place, that God might fulfill prophecy, and that fulfillment of prophecy should be according to God's will and according to God's word. And so we find that these things took place even as God meant for them to take place, that they might be revealed even as the scriptures prophesied of them. And so we find that they go back to this small city, as it were, the city of Bethlehem. In verse 2, and this registration was first made when Quirinius was governor of Syria, and all went to be registered, everyone to his own city, and Joseph also went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth into Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David. Now here again is a very key thread to the prophecy, that this was a very important city. It was the city of David. It was that city God intended that Mary and Joseph should journey to for the very fulfillment of the prophetic word, which is found in Micah 5:2 and also in Isaiah chapter 7 and in Isaiah chapter 9 and verse 6 and 7. So we find that this fulfillment of prophecy was because God intended that his son should come into the world. Verse 5, to be registered with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. Now, if we might pause here just a moment and say something about this espousal. The espousal in that particular culture could take place a year in advance of the actual wedding. And Joseph and Mary were espoused to be husband and wife. They, in a sense, they were promised to one another. And Mary, of course, was a virgin. She hadn't had any relations with a man. And the one-year period was given that they might allow time for the proving of the purity of the marriage before they actually were married, actually had that marriage consummated. And so we find that they were in this period of time. They had been promised to one another. They were under contract by the family to be married. And so they were waiting upon this one-year period to elapse before they actually entered into the marriage relationship as husband and wife, though they were every bit promised to one another, and it was every bit as real as if they were actually married. But yet they were not having any kind of personal intimacy at that time. And so here they were. They must travel to the city of Bethlehem, and they were awaiting that period. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. So we find that the narrative here in Luke goes immediately to the fact that she is with child and that she is going to be delivered of the baby. So we might ask the question, well, what happened? Well, we find that as we explore the scriptures concerning this, during this period of time, the angel of the Lord appeared unto her and told her that she would conceive. During this one-year period, while they are waiting and fulfilling the marriage contract, the angel appears and tells her that she was going to have a baby, not of Joseph, but of the Holy Spirit, of God the Holy Spirit. Now, of course, this is most unusual, isn't it? In fact, this is a miracle in itself, and that there had never been such a birth as this ever in the world, nor ever shall be again. That God the Holy Spirit should come upon an individual, and that the scripture said she was highly favored, and that favor of God fell upon her, that God might fulfill this promise that he would send his only begotten Son into the world. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And so we find as that announcement was given to Mary, and she found herself to be with child, also Joseph found himself in a very uncertain circumstance. What was he to do? Was he to marry her as everybody would consider to her to be impure? What was he to do in this particular case? And so we find that because of his great love for her, and also because God also sent an angel to Joseph and told him that not to fear, not to regard this as a state of impurity, but that the Holy Spirit did bring this conception upon Mary, and that she was to bear a child And the child's name would be called Jesus because he came to save his people from their sin. And so we have an angel that is coming to Mary to make the announcement. We have an angel that comes to Joseph and tells him not to be afraid, but to consider the marriage okay. And so what does he immediately do? He immediately takes her to the city of Bethlehem as if she is pure and as if she is truly his wife. And it is there that this fulfillment of the birth of Mary comes to pass, and the birth of the child, which would be called Jesus. And so in verse 6, and so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. Now we've all heard various accounts of the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. The idea of the stable and the manger here is quite different than we might imagine in our own culture, in our own country. It was considered to be a manger of type and of a stable of sorts, but it was more like a cave. It was more like a place that was hewn out of the rock and a small, narrow passageway to perhaps to bring the cattle or the sheep or the type of animals that they had unto the place where they would feed them. And it was quite exposed, perhaps, in some degree, and was very, you might say, unkept. And a place where just animals were being cared for and were being fed. Of the humblest of places that we might consider. And certainly not a place that we would say a baby should be born. But yet God intended that these things should take place. And we must understand that God intended that Jesus should be born into the world, not with the pomp and circumstance of man, but in the glory of God. Remember that angels brought this announcement to Mary, that angels would announce these things unto the shepherds, that an angel would give a message unto Joseph, and on several occasions. And we find that as these things did take place, they were by the divine means of God. You see, we should always remember that God intends for his word and his work to be accomplished by his purposes and through his plan. Not as man would intend to do it. Man would want to have the pomp and circumstance of kings. Man would want to have the best arrangements for everything to take place. Man would want to have the most professional and most celebrated of people around, and honors and glory of men to be given recognition to in everything that takes place. But God designs it according to his purpose for a reason, that Jesus might come into the world in obscurity, but yet he would rise to such a great place of prominence by the power of God and the glory of God and the Spirit of God, that true salvation would be known, not of man, but of God. But of God. And that's what we should always remember, that the true salvation is not of man, but of God. It is of divine means. It is of God's prophetic purposes. It is of God's plan of redemption. It is according to his grace and his mercy. And so did the angels come and bring announcement of the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so as we look at verse 8, we find that now Luke's narrative goes toward that announcement unto shepherds, not unto kings, not unto the glory of others, who might bring such great news and such word of this birth. No, but it was unto the lowly shepherds in the countryside. Verse 8, and there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, an angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were very much afraid, or sore afraid, as the King James puts it in the Old English. Sore afraid. Very much afraid. Well, we would be very much afraid too. If angels should come and make some announcement to us, these glorious creatures and messengers of God, which were ordained to do the bidding of God and be angelic messengers to God's purpose and God's plan, and we find that even unto the shepherds, the lowly shepherds, the people who were very common and working out in the field, not unto kings or unto princes or unto governors or unto Caesars or unto Rome or anywhere else did they go, but unto a poor lowly shepherd on the hillside. And God again meant that this should take place, that his plan and that his news would spread within the realm of those that he meant to reach, those who were of great need, the people that Jesus came to save from their sin. You may consider yourself like a lowly shepherd in that you are not a governor, you are not a prince, you are not a king, you are not a mayor of a city or a magistrate in any way. You're just a workaday person, right? As these shepherds were everyday workaday people. But who does God come to? He comes to those who are lowly in heart and humble in spirit and of contrite in nature. He comes to those who seek him out of a desire to know God. He came to these lowly shepherds, abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. Verse 9, and lo, an angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were very much afraid. And the angel said unto them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. And so the good news, if you will, that God brings to the shepherd is that there will be such rejoicing over the birth of this child, that shall be known, that all people shall rejoice in it. That it will be a news that goes unto the end of the world. In verse 11, for unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you, ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. The shepherds would not have to go unto the palace to find the king. No, they would find him in a lowly stable. A lowly stable. See, this is how God works it, isn't it? That God touches the hearts of people and shows them that which they need to know in a very easy and approachable way, that God reveals himself to man, not in the palaces of kings, but in the humility of that one who was known as the Lord Jesus Christ, who was born in a lowly stable. And so the Lord would be known by these things, even as they were to come to pass. That is, by the very prophetic nature of his coming. He was to come through that royal line of David. And we find that Joseph and Mary would fit that very particular register of the royal line, even as God intended that Joseph should be a part of this, though he would not be the father in the sense of Jesus. No, Jesus would come from God the Father, who is in heaven. And that would be significant too, because we find that that incarnation, which comes from God the Father, would be such a revelation of his only begotten Son that we find he would employ redemption to come unto mankind because of it. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. Have you come to the Lord? Do you know the Lord Jesus as your Savior? Have you taken him as that one who would forgive your sins? You see, the thrust of the Scripture comes down to knowing Jesus Christ as the Son of God. That is the thrust of Scripture. It is to know that Jesus Christ was given by God the Father to be the Savior of the world, to be your Savior, that you might know him as your personal Savior. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. You see, this is not the word of princes. This is the word of God. This is not the kind of proclamation and administration that comes out of Congress and out of legislation and out of governments. No, this comes out of the grace and mercy of God toward man, that man might know of the true means of redemption. It is through his only begotten Son, through Jesus Christ. And suddenly, verse 13, there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. So what do this great heavenly host all of a sudden proclaim? This angelic choir, if you will, they say these very words: glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. Now, some have kind of argued, well, the angels really didn't sing. They spoke. They said these things. But I'll tell you probably this, like others have said, there were no more melodious words ever spoken than those words concerning the Lord Jesus Christ. Whether they were sung in chorus or spoken, there were no more melodious words ever spoken. No more sweeter words. No more words that would be most desired and remembered throughout the ages than those words which the angels did speak. Glory to God in the highest. The highest. God who is in the highest. And on earth, peace, goodwill toward men. And so we find that Jesus is born in Bethlehem of Judea, because that is the very place God meant to fulfill prophecy, because that is the very place the Old Testament prophets spoke that the Christ child should come. That Jesus is announced by angels, not to kings and not to princes, but to people just like you and I. People who would receive him in lowliness of heart and humility of spirit, and know that the prophetic word was truly the word of God, and as it is given by angels, no one could dispute it. And so these angels gave that word. And so we know that God meant for that word to be given and the power of that word to be known to us. And then we find also shepherds visit the baby Jesus. This is the third thing. As the angels began to realize that, the shepherds began to realize that the word of the angels was meant to give them such information and good news about Jesus, now they are basically told to go and to make worship unto the Lord Jesus Christ. And so in verse 15, and it came to pass as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, and the shepherds said one to another, let us go even unto Bethlehem, and see this thing which is come to pass, which the Lord hath made known to us. The Lord hath made known to us. They could not ignore the very message of God. When the messenger of God comes, when the messenger of God gives his proclamation, how can you ignore it? You know, this morning we have also the message of God right here in front of us. The messenger that I am serving as a messenger, but the true messenger is the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit. And God the Holy Spirit is speaking to you. You cannot ignore the message nor the messenger. You must believe, you must accept it, you must know it as your in your heart. And so I would say to you to do even as the shepherds did, to go and see. Find it in your heart to go unto Christ and to receive from him the very thing he means to give to you, eternal life. The shepherds decided to go unto Bethlehem even as they were told. Verse 16, and they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. Now, like all of us, if we find such good news that we cannot possibly retain it to ourselves, then we have to go and tell others. And so it is with this message. It is a message from God. It is a message from angels. It is a message to them. It is a message to change the world. It is a message of hope and of salvation. It is a message of love and of grace. And it can change your life. And so they felt they must need to go and to tell abroad these very things. This is the unusual thing about Christianity. It is not a secret lodge. It is not a secret organization. We do not have a message that we hold so dear that we hide it away and don't expose it to others. No, Christianity is meant to be told to the world, to tell everyone about it. Why? Because it is the good news of salvation. It is the good news of Christ and of redemption. It is that news that shall set God's people free from their sin. And so it is that they were to go and to tell this message abroad. Of course, later on we find Jesus would tell his own disciples to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature, to every individual, to every person, man, woman, and child. He would tell them to go and to preach and to teach and to baptize in his name, to the glory of God the Father. And so it is, verse 18, and all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. And as you might wonder, there would be some particular interest in this, curiosity in this message. What has happened? Nothing like this has ever taken place before. This is a message from God. This is an announcement by angels. This is a happening that has never taken place, that God himself came down to man and revealed himself in the form of a human being. Verse 19, but Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. As one might consider that a mother would do, as she would think on the very things that had happened and that she had been told. And verse 20, and the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told unto them. When the truth of God's word begins to settle upon our hearts, when we at first hear it, we might, with all interest, take some consideration. But if we really believe upon the Lord, if we really accept that message that God has for us, as these shepherds did, there can be only one response, and that is to glorify and praise God for the things that have been revealed. And that is what we are to do at the Christmas season. We are to glorify God. We are to praise God for all these things that have been revealed to us. We are to sing glory in the highest. We are to say peace, goodwill on earth to men. We are to, with the angels, make such proclamation of praise and glory that all around may know that Jesus Christ is born, that he is the Savior of the world, and if they too shall call upon the Lord Jesus Christ, they can be saved. And so this message is one which we should love to tell and love to glorify God in and to praise God in. I would invite you to do that at your time when you get together with your family. Read the Christmas story. Glorify God together in reading it. Give thanks to God for the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. It is God with us. Shall we bow together in prayer? Loving Father, we do thank you for your word to us, Lord. We do thank you for your love and mercies to us. We do thank you for the salvation which comes through Jesus Christ, our Lord, and that he was victorious over sin and over death, that his life not only was miraculous in its birth, it was miraculous in his very existence, for he came into the world a Son of God. He did live and he died, and he was buried, and he arose again from the dead upon the third day, and he ascended up to the right hand of the Father. All for us, that we might know him, and that he might be the Savior of the world. In Jesus' name, amen.